morning, church. Good morning to Wilshire Live. Good to be seen by you. It's not, I can't see you, but good to be seen by you, I trust. Hey, I want to start this morning and make a confession. Now, I realize that that's probably not what you want to hear from the pastor that's about to preach, but I will assure you that this won't come as a surprise if you already know me. If you're a friend with me on Facebook, this will not be a surprise to my wife, who's very aware of what I'm about to confess to you. So I'm not sharing anything that she doesn't already know. My confession is this. I love sports. I don't just love sports. I love sports. In fact, when I got married, my wife said, "You can watch sports. I know you like to watch sports, but you have to give up at least one of them. Can you do that?" And I said, "Yes, I can do that." So I gave up hockey, but the rule is I'm allowed to watch the playoffs if one of my teams that I like makes the playoffs. So it's a good, but I love the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. I love the Los Angeles Lakers. I'm sorry to admit this, but I love USC Trojan football. And I'll just close with that. And I do admit, though, in front of God and my church family, that I love the Los Angeles Rams. I always have, and I always will. And now I'm proud to say that my son does as well. And yet, even above all those sports, I love watching my kids play sports. And I love watching my friends' kids play sports. In fact, on our last trip to Australia, when we were visiting Rachel's brother there, we went to see one of my brother-in-law's friend's son play basketball in Australia. Yes, my name is Mark, and I have a problem. I love sports. But what about you? What gets you excited in life? What are you passionate about? If you think about it, the creative force behind all great art or all great drama or music or even all great sports fans is passion. Passion is what energizes life. Passion makes the impossible possible. Without passion, life becomes boring, doesn't it? God created you and me with the emotions to have passion in our life. God himself is passionate about you and me. And as we'll look at today, his greatest desire is that he would want us to be passionate about him. Jesus made that very clear when he shared what the greatest commandment is. One day a man walked up to Jesus, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he asked Jesus, "Lord, what's the most important thing in the Bible?" And Jesus said, "I want you to love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Nothing matters more than that. That's the number one thing in life." In other words, Jesus says, "I want you to love me passionately above all else. Love me with all that you have." I love the paraphrase of that verse, Mark 11:30 from the Message. You'll find it in your outline this morning. It says this, Jesus said, "Love the Lord God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy." Love the Lord God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy. Circle the word passion there on your outline. That word in the original Greek is the word for heart. What God is saying here is that I want you to put some muscle into your love for me. I want you to put some energy into it. Put some emotion into your relationship with me. Jesus is saying, if you're going to follow me, you've got to do it with passion. In fact, this truth is found through the whole Bible from the beginning to the end. The Bible tells us that we're to seek God passionately, that we are to love God passionately, that we are to serve and obey God passionately. We are to trust God passionately. But here's the amazing thing. In America, it's okay to be passionate about pretty much anything. There probably aren't a lot of people here this morning that are thinking that I'm crazy because I'm passionate about sports. There might be a few of you, but most people think that's okay, Pastor. You can still be a pastor and be passionate about sports. It's okay to be passionate about a lot of things. We can be passionate about politics, about movies, about food, about fashions, about clothes. There's a lot of things that I can be passionate about, but for some reason, I'm not allowed to be passionate about God. I typed in the phrase, a passion for, on my phone this week on Amazon. Amazon Prime, to be honest. I love that. I can get anything I want tomorrow if I order it today. It's an amazing gift from God. But I was amazed at, okay, I'm passionate about Amazon Prime, I admit it. It's amazing, though, that what came up when I typed in that phrase, a passion for. Some of the things, a passion for birds, a passion for books, a passion for cactus, a passion for chocolate, I understand that one, a passion for fashion, for fishing, for flying, for gardening, for golf, again, I understand that one. There's even a book called A Passion for Mushrooms. For $3.76, I can buy a book named A Passion for Mushrooms. I didn't, but I could have. See, I can go to a rock concert or a political rally or a basketball game, and I can shout my head off all I want. I can get excited. I can become hoarse from yelling so loudly about the game. When my team loses, I can cry, and that's okay. If my team wins, I can go crazy. I can dance even though I don't dance, and I can just be a fanatic. And that's okay. People will see me and say, he's a real fan. Good for him. But if I do that in church, people will say, that guy's a little crazy. You don't want to get too emotional about your faith. It's okay to get excited about everything else in life, just not your relationship with God. Romans 12:1 says this, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Notice though, it's not automatic. It's a choice, it's a discipline to stay passionate about God. It's something that you must maintain. If you're not by nature passionate about God, then it's something that you must choose to do every day. You get distracted and everything in life conspires to keep you from being passionate about God. We were just talking about that this morning when we were praying for the services, about how easy it is for our passion just to be zapped from our life when it comes to our relationship with God. It's so easy for life to come upon us and just zap our passion, our drive to be close to God. It happens all the time. Romans 12:1 reminds us that to keep that passion going, it's a discipline. It won't happen by accident. And if you're like me, we're kind of like those balloons. We've got a helium balloon here in the sanctuary, Wilshire Live. You can't see it. I don't know where it came from, but there's a Merry Christmas helium balloon on the ceiling of our sanctuary right now. Pastor Brian and I were talking about trying to shoot it down, but we might this week. But here's the thing. If you're like me, we're like these helium balloons. We fill them up for our kids' birthday parties, right? We have to tie them off to a chair, otherwise they'll float away. But it doesn't take long for those helium balloons to start coming down. By the morning, most balloons will still be tied to that chair, but they'll be laying on the floor now instead of flying high. It's easy for our faith to do the same thing, isn't it? Our passion for God just to begin to fade away. And before long, when it comes to our relationship with God, we're basically just laying on the floor. Well, Pastor Rob, if you've been with us, Pastor Rob just finished a series on A New You. And throughout this series, he shared God's desire to make us a new person, a new creation, and that this is possible because of what Jesus has done for us. We have a new purpose, a new focus in life because God was so passionate about you and me that he sent his son Jesus to die for us, a new you. That's a possibility that we have because of what Jesus did for us. Next week, Pastor Rob's going to start a new series that we're calling Better Together. And I want to encourage you to come discover the way God has uniquely created you for a purpose that stretches far beyond our own life. God only created one of you, and God only created one of me. And without you, we are missing a key player here at Wilshire. So join us next Sunday as we learn the way God has uniquely made you to do the things that only you can do. God has created me in a way that there are things that only I can do for this church and for his kingdom. And so together, we are better. Better together. We're going to start that next Sunday. But none of that matters. None of that matters. A new you, better together, none of that matters if we don't have passion for Jesus. If you can recall back to when you first became a Christian, the first day that you accepted Jesus, you really understood what God has done for you, and all you can think of is, wow, well, this is an amazing deal that I'm getting the better part of it for sure. And we at that moment are very passionate about what Jesus has done. And so why does our passion begin to fade? What is it about life that begins just to draw that excitement for what God has done for us away from our life? That's what we're going to look at today. My hope is that we can stop, that we can pause just for a moment and reflect on where am I today when it comes to my relationship with God. I know for me, the year that we went through, the transition year, it was a hard year for me personally. I've shared a little bit about that before, but I'll tell you this, that my passion for Jesus began to get zapped away because of everything that was going on. It's easy in our life for our love for Jesus, our drive to be a part of what he's doing, to get zapped away. And so where are you today when it comes to that? We're going to look at three passion killers that if we aren't aware of it and if we're not willing to stop them, we'll lose our passion. And we'll end up one day thinking, where is God? How did this happen? How did I get where I am today? So the first passion killer is this, an unresolved conflict. Conflict just drains the passion right out of you, doesn't it? Do you ever start a day off when it's going to be a great day? You just know it's going to be a great day. You fly out of bed, you wake up from the moment you get up, you're ready to go, life is good, you're ready to take on whatever life might throw at you that day. You're on your way out the door and you have a fight with your spouse. Wah, wah. And all of a sudden, all your excitement and your passion for that day is gone. It's like the air going out of the tire when conflict comes. That's what conflict can do to us. It takes all the passion out of our lives. Your attitude all of a sudden just goes flat. And maybe you're here this morning, and that's where you're at. Unfortunately, when we have conflict with others, it can affect our relationship with God too. Some of you are in situations at home or at work or with a friend where the conflict is constant. It can become all-controlling and even begin to have a negative impact on your relationship with God. And when you have unresolved conflict, it often leads to some negative emotions that just are a part of that unresolved conflict. You cannot control the other person always, so all you can think about is, how can I control what's going on with me? The three emotions that can kill our passion for God in the midst of conflict are resentment, jealousy, and prolonged anger. The book of Job has some really practical advice for us when it comes to this. Let me read just a couple verses. In Job chapter 5, verse 2, resentment destroys the fool and jealousy kills the simple. Resentment destroys the fool and jealousy kills the simple. Circle resentment and circle jealousy there. See, those are the key words that we need to be careful about when it comes to this conflict, the unresolved conflict that we don't deal with. Both these emotions will quickly kill the passion that you have for God. It's hard, hear this, it's hard to love God when you have resentment and jealousy for someone else in your life. And then Job 18, verse 4 says this, you're only hurting yourself with your anger. Circle anger there. Again, very practical advice here for us. It only hurts you. And yet we still choose to hold on to our anger as if it's our right and no one is going to take it away from me. You have a choice to make. And the decision that you can make is when it comes to resentment and jealousy and prolonged anger, you have the choice to let it go or to hold on to it because it's your right to hold on to it. This is why forgiveness is so important. And I'm not saying anything that you don't already know. God, who created us, knows that we can carry resentment like no one else. And that he also knows that we can't carry resentment, because if we do, it's going to hurt us. So he says, here's a way to let it go. Forgiveness. Even logically, we know that the resentment that we have in our lives is not hurting the person that we're resentful against. Oftentimes, they may not even know that we are resentful towards them. Someone once told me, resentment is premeditated. I just lost it. Sorry. Resentment is... Oh, I lost it, honey. I was sorry. Let's move on. I'll think of it. Ask me later. Oftentimes, the person that we are resenting doesn't even know we are resenting them. And so we're angry, we're resenting them just for our own sake. The same can be true for jealousy and anger. If you want the passion to be restored in your heart, in your life, you have to forgive. You have to let it go. When we have unresolved conflict with other people, the resentment or jealousy or anger can be a passion killer when it comes to our relationship with Jesus. Here's the second cause for a loss of passion. It's unused talent. An unused talent will cause you to lose your passion for life and your passion for God. 1 Peter 4 says this, each of you has been blessed with one of God's many wonderful gifts to be used in the service of others. So use your gifts well. Notice here, God gives each one of us certain talents, abilities, gifts. That's what shapes us. He's given you those gifts, these talents, so that we can be a blessing to other people. These gifts and these talents aren't for us. They are to benefit other people. My gifts are for your benefit. Your gifts are for my benefit. We're to use these gifts in the service of other people. God has given you a special role in this world that only you can fill. He wants you to make a contribution. Pastor Rob, starting next week, is going to help us discover this more and more. What does it look like that the reality that God's created me, God's created you uniquely to play a special role in what God wants to do here on this earth? But my point this morning is this. If you don't use these gifts, you're going to begin to lose your passion for what God wants for your life. God did not give you these special abilities just to sit and do nothing about them. God says, I want you to use it or you're going to lose it. You need to use those gifts or we begin to lose those gifts. Let me get real specific. If you're stuck in a job that does not use your talents to any degree, one danger is that you'll begin to lose your passion in life. It's going to burn you out. Studies have shown that 70% of all Americans are in a job that does not use their talents. And that's tragic. Because God did not give you these talents and then say, oh, don't worry, don't use them. Just go make some money. There's something more important than money, and that is using what God gave you. 1 Corinthians 7 says, each one should live his life with the gifts that God has given him. Each one should live his life, not just be involved in church, but live his life with the gifts that the Lord has given him. God gave you these gifts and talents to use. Now the reality is, you're never gonna find a job that uses 100% of your talent. You're never gonna find a job that is 100% fulfilling when it comes to how God created you. Why? Because God never meant for your job to find 100% fulfillment in your life. He never intended your job to provide 100% fulfillment in your life. And that's why we need to be a part of what God's doing. That's why we need to find a ministry here at church to be a part of. That's why here at Wilshire we encourage everybody to find a place that you can fit to make what God's dream is for this church possible. God gave you these gifts and these talents for the benefit of others. Let's move on to the third passion killer, and that's an unsupported lifestyle. Sometimes you lose passion for God because you're not spending enough time around other people who have a similar passion for God. I love this incredibly practical verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. It says, two are better than one, because if one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the one who falls and has no one to help him up. In other words, we need each other. We all fall sometimes. We all stumble at times. So we all need people to help us in our lives. If you've been around Wilshire for any amount of time, you've heard a lot about what I'm about to say, probably hundreds if not thousands of times. But I'm going to say it again because it's so important. An essential part of being a part of this place called Wilshire Avenue is to be in a life group. And here's why. We'll all go through crisis in life. Life groups are that place, that support system in life, that as life gets hard, our life groups can help keep our passion for God going. It's our accountability. It's that place that people can say, I've been through that. You'll get through this too. God's there with you. We're here with you. It's going to be okay. But it's not just for the difficult times. it's also for the good times. Some of the best celebrations Rachel and I have had in the last 10 years or so have been with our life group. And celebrating the good times is so much better when you have friends that you can celebrate it with. We're made to live that way. In a prison, think about this. In a prison, when they want to give somebody the ultimate punishment, where do they put them? Solitary confinement. Why is that so bad? Because we were made to be around other people. That's how God created us. So whether you're married or single, you need relationships with other people. Others who are trying to live with passion for God in the same way that you, I hope, are trying to live. As I said, Rachel and I have been a part of a life group for 10 years or so. I forget exactly when we started them, but I'll be the first to admit we need it. For those times that I've gone through my own life and I begin to lose my passion for God, those times that just life hits hard, our life group has been there and they've been that safe place for me to be able to go to and say, guys, I confess, I'm really struggling with this right now. And they've been there for me, they've been there for Rachel, they've been there for us as a couple and helped pick us up and carry us through those hard times. We need relationships in order to grow. That's what makes all this possible. We currently have 20 life groups that meet in different homes throughout Fullerton and other cities around here, different nights, different times. We have groups for singles, married couples, mixed groups, and everything in between. All of our life groups are sermon-based, which means we go to these groups and we talk about what we hear on Sunday mornings. How can we apply what we hear and make it a part of our life? If you're ready to join a life group, do me a favor. Don't leave this morning without doing that. If you've been hearing this and you're thinking, oh, we should, but we don't, or I should, but I haven't, today's the day. Seek out Pastor Brian. Brian Maxwell's in charge of he oversees our life groups. He knows what all the life groups are. He'll know what the best group is for you. So find Pastor Brian on the patio this morning. He'll help you get connected. If you have kids, that's great. We have several life groups that provide childcare, so don't let that be an excuse on why you can't join one. We can find a group, a location that's convenient for you. Hebrews 10 says this, verses 24 and 25. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, and let us encourage one another. Let me close with this. We've looked at just three passion killers this morning. I know that there are a lot more. My hope this morning is that we would pause just for a moment and check our hearts. Ask ourselves, am I passionate about God? Do I get excited about what God's done in my life and is doing in my life today? Or have I lost that passion? Is my relationship with Jesus just not as important as it used to be? Does it take a back seat now to other priorities in my life? C.S. Lewis said it like this: the only thing Christianity cannot be is moderately important. If Jesus is God, and he died and loved you that much, you owe him the rest of your life. If Jesus is who he said he was, and he died for us, we owe him the rest of our life. If he didn't, then we can go home and live a self-centered life and not worry about what God wants us to do. The only thing Christianity cannot be is moderately important. It either deserves your entire life or nothing at all. So how is your passion for God today? See, the truth is nobody's holding you back. The truth is, you are as close to God this morning as you choose to be. You have as much God. You have as much of God as you want. It's your choice. It's my choice. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us, for being so passionate about us, that you sent your son Jesus for us. And if we are honest and we pause just long enough today to think about that, my expectation, God, is that we can't have any other response other than to thank you and be passionate for you and to live our life for you. So I pray, God, today that we would be renewed in our passion for you, that we would be reminded of that day we first loved you, so that we can leave this morning, so that we can walk out of this place this morning as passionate about you as we ever have been. And in so doing, God, may we share that with others. May we be so passionate with others that they sense something that is missing in their own lives, and that they too might say yes to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.